Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Thank you for being here. I think Gary and JJ captured a guest outside and caught him with the corona also. So
we dragged him in.
We got a Pahrump Valley Speedway local, Mike Lane, with us, bomber driver from out there, right?
Number three.
So, Mike, thank you for being here unwillingly.
Pretty much.
Have a couple more swigs of your beer. You'll be happy. Yeah,
that's right. So, see what happens when you just show up randomly? Yeah.
I'm sorry they only had Corona for you.
It's fine.
Hey, man, don't look at me for lines. I got plenty of lemon, but I ain't got no lines.
You drive a lemon, don't you? Is that a Ford?
What?
You drive a lemon.
Easy there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Of course, hosting tonight, the one and only JJ Nunn.
Hey, we got a Chevy driver in the house. Yes, I'm right. Happy, man. Make my day.
Sweet.
Driver the number three.
I'm sorry, the show is over.
mostly blue.
Metallic blue Caprice, yeah. Down there, two-door. Down in Pahrump. Have you ever been up Tonopah with that?
Yeah. I ran up there one time last year.
Yeah, how'd you make out?
I got my butt kicked in the main, but I won the trophy dash.
Oh, cool.
So I got $50, and it's what it cost me to race. And
hey.
Do they actually have, like, a bomber division up there?
Well, even
yeah.
Is that what it is?
Okay. It's more like semi-super stock.
I see.
The rules are bent way out of shape, so.
So you kind of had a little disadvantage, but so you got a trophy dash out of it, though, you said?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, they actually put the trophy dash in the middle of the race, so.
Yeah, they do things a little
different.
A little different out there. Then they bring out the trophy dash winners at halftime.
Yeah,
and they bring kids. They pair kids up.
Yeah, we had
stands.
Yeah, there was a couple kids out there.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a nice track.
Different.
What do you
man.
Think of that track?
I liked it. Actually, the pit was pretty nice. Everybody had electricity, so set up pretty nice. You got lights out in the pits, but it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's out there past the airport. What, another 5 miles or something? Past
yeah,
it's,
is that a big thing, the lights in the pits?
Well, it's kind of nice, plus the electricity. I mean, if you had to use something power.
That's true. You don't always get that luxury in the pit area.
Not in Pahrump.
You know, even at LVMS, you don't get power in the pit area.
Didn't we park underneath a light pole in Pahrump where we had lights?
Two of them.
And water.
But you didn't have power to plug anything into, though, like a generator or anything.
Only
like that.
Down at the inspection spots, plug-ins in Pahrump.
No lights.
Yeah.
Nowhere to plug your
spot. Chad's spot's got power.
You're an extension cord from his. Don't pull your
extension cord out.
I wonder why he's got the power down there.
Of course, before we get to some more Mike Lane here, we also have hosting tonight the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
What's happening? How'd
Thanks
you,
for
you
popping
find,
in, Mike.
Where'd you find Mike?
Actually, he came to bring me a book.
He'll never do that again,
that's
by the
right.
way. No more book drop off for
and
you.
I
not at 5:30,
yeah. I answered the phone. Right. I said, hey, Mike, what's up? I'm getting ready to start my radio show. What's going on? He goes, hey, I dropped something off out in front for you. You know, just go. I said, wait. JJ said, grab him, bring him in. So guess what?
Yeah,
I bet you he'll never bring another book over at 5:30.
5:30 and on a Tuesday.
Yeah, not on a Tuesday again.
He said, why in the hell didn't I do this on Wednesday or Thursday?
The thought has entered my mind.
So, Mike, you live in Vegas, don't you?
Yeah, I live right around the corner, actually.
Oh, see? But you still racing out at Pahrump on a regular basis?
Not regular now. I took the month of May off for some personal reasons and found out my car's got an issue, so I'm putting it on hiatus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of that, I guess, so you
this is probably the first time in a little while that you've taken some time off, huh? You ran pretty much most of the season out at Pahrump in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I've been pretty regular. I think I missed one race last season, so.
Oh, that ain't bad. No.
Yeah.
You got two championships down there, don't you?
You can call it that. Yeah, one was earned and the other one was kind of given. I mean, there was not too many cars in the class. So.
You know what? But they have a lot of races out there, so just showing up is something out there because they race almost every weekend out there till November, don't they? Or every other weekend.
The past 7 years, it's been 19 to 22 races a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot. Keeping these old cars running and finding parts from. What year is your Caprice?
I think it's 77.
77. Ain't easy. 23, 17, 40 years old.
Right.
Yeah. You just don't go to the junkyard and go find a 77 Caprice and start pulling parts. That's for sure. You got to hunt around. I read Monte Carlos are even scarce. We were having problems 10 years ago finding parts for Monte Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's taking them, making them into hoopties again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, low riders. And you ask Gary about that down in Riverside, they probably see quite a bit of that.
Yes,
quite
sir.
A few of those.
Well, I got plenty of parts now, so.
Hey, let me ask, how'd you get started? When did you start racing? Or if you like me, too old that can't remember.
No, I have.
I'm forgetting more than I remember now.
I have some pictures on my bar wall that remind me. I think I was 10 or 11 years old. My dad wouldn't let us ride bicycles on the street that we lived on because it was too busy, so he bought us quarter midgets.
Really?
Built us a track in our backyard. And,
wow. What a,
so we started racing in about 62, I think it was.
At 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, wait, let's do the math.
I was like 12 or 13 then.
JJ, you're no longer the oldest one in
in the room.
But my dad raced sprint cars and midgets, full midgets back in the day. So
Where?
Balboa Stadium, Ascot,
okay.
Clovis, Phoenix.
All right. So
Manzanita.
I traveled with him a lot. When you said you got the track in your backyard, was that in Arizona?
No, I was in actually it was in Spring Valley, California, down in San Diego.
Wow.
He just took the skip loader out there and dug us a track, and we entertained our local kids almost every day. They would line up at the fence trying to get our cars away from us, but we had our own little deal going and had a gas station across the street. And
wow.
Had our own garage and kept us out of trouble. We'd come straight home from school. That wasn't a problem. So,
well, that's
dad,
pretty cool.
Did dad race?
My dad was racing at El Cajon Speedway on Saturday nights, and we would race at right next to El Cajon Speedway on Friday nights, mainly.
Okay.
On the it was about a tenth of a mile asphalt track.
All right. So you started on asphalt because I know you're a hell of a driver on dirt.
Well,
so you know,
the quarter midget was strictly asphalt. They had some dirt earlier in the times, but those tracks were kind of small and not too many of them in San Diego. So, but they had a nice asphalt track out at El Cajon Speedway. So we stayed out there for probably 6 or 7 years, came up through the classes and ended up in the two-cycle class. That's when the McCullough chainsaw engines came into effect, and they kind of did away with the Briggs and Strattons. But the Briggs and Strattons were turning 5.5 seconds on a 10th mile track. So they were fuel, methanol. We were running chainsaw engines. So we were doing probably 6.5 seconds on a 10th mile track.
That's so falling ass. That's
yeah, it was
crazy.
Pretty good.
A little quarter
yeah.
midget, man.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And you, what age did you say you were? About 13?
Started at about 12.
Wow.
And went to about 14. So we had a good time. My brother was 6 or 7. They were racing. My mom and dad would race half midget. And,
so your mom raced too?
Yeah, my mom raced.
Wow.
That's a racing family,
division.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's cool.
We had some good times.
I was just talking to somebody about that. You don't see hardly any powder puff divisions anymore going on.
Yeah, we were talking about that last radio show.
So,
did mom run with the guys or did she run
no,
powder
their,
puff?
They had their own division.
Own division. Those
same
are,
car, but.
Dad and
the dads would get out, yeah, and the moms would get in. So
get in.
See,
we used to
some trusting dads.
We used to have a powder puff division back Freeport, you know, Long mm-hmm. Island, Riverhead, and Islip, and it's just you don't hear of it much anymore.
Yeah, that's women's lib, man.
Yeah, all the girls are running with the guys.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's I guess there isn't a demand. It doesn't put people in the seats. I know down in Pahrump they have mini stock they put. You know,
they had
have,
a good turnout for the powder puff and a good race. You know, you start getting some you start worrying a lot thinking you're gonna see some accidents, but you don't. You know, they might, you know, rub against each other once in a while, but
that was for Busick's charity.
The cancer. I don't remember.
They still got some women running out at Pahrump.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They do pretty good. I heard Jerry Patrick won a Coupe race.
Yeah. And then in the mini stocks, top three were all girls.
Yeah. My niece is in, still in second place. Janelle.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
10 points, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she shows up. She doesn't win, but she shows up every race. So
consistency, you know, that makes a difference.
Yep, there you go, the tortoise.
The three mini stock layout, that was Susan
Smotherman,
Terry Heiser, and Dylan.
Terry's doing real good out there. She's consistent.
It's good to hear she's back. Oh, she's got time.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of laps, Terry Heiser.
She runs hard.
She's back. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. She runs hard and clean.
Yeah.
Too. She's a great lady to run up against. That's for sure.
So what was your first taste of dirt after you did the quarter midget asphalt? Did you move into dirt?
No, I did a stupid thing and went to motorcycles.
Oh.
Did some motocross and some District 38 stuff when I shouldn't have been doing it, and I did, but because I just had gotten married and started racing motorcycles and did the Barstow to Vegas three times, actually finished twice. So
that's a pretty.
Then I went into motocross with the same bike and got out of that pretty fast. But that lasted about 5 years.
Was it a abuse on your body thing or
all of the above?
Marriage?
Luckily, I had good insurance because I was in the plumbers union. So every time I got hurt, I went on disability and the union paid me $40 a week. My boss was actually my sponsor. He covered the bike and
sweet.
We had a good time for a couple of years, but it wears on you.
Oh, I can imagine. That takes some balls too. You're riding out. You guys are going full blast down in the, you know, in the desert on these things, and who knows what's coming up in front of you. That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, you said mom raced. Did your wife ever get on a bike?
No.
At
no,
all?
No,
car?
No,
nothing?
No.
She was
no.
the smart one.
she just got in a car wreck here about a month ago. So.
Oh.
We're dealing with that still. So
is she okay?
Yeah.
I hope she's all right.
Yeah, she's getting better. We just got the car back, so
they actually always replace metal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's
her second crash, but I keep telling her when she gets tired of the car not to just crash it. We'll trade it in. So
I don't like
that the easier
car.
Way, right? It wasn't her fault either one. They were both not her fault. So
see, JJ. There's an easier way than just running into each other on the track. I'm not pointing fingers at you or anything, but I know you and Mike traded a lot of paint.
We swapped paint.
Paint, rims, tires, fenders, quarters, doors.
Yeah. So you can always replace metal.
Luckily, we never traded roll bars.
Neither of you ended up upside down on the dirt.
No.
Yet.
No. You ever been upside down?
Not in these cars.
No, not
been upside down in the quarter midget.
Oh wow!
Those open wheels. Those things are light as hell.
Yeah, it knocks the wind right out of you. So
yeah,
wow.
You flip one of those, you know you're flipping, because it just isn't a simple roll. It's
pretty violent.
End over end.
Well, I would imagine the quarter midgets back when you were running them are way different than the quarter midgets that you see today.
Well, they don't have cages. We just had a roll bar.
Wow.
That was
a hoop.
That
created like a single hoop type.
Right. You had a lat belt. You didn't have a shoulder harness.
Wow.
Just had a lat belt, but.
Safety was insane back then. It really.
They use the old leather football helmet.
No. We had a good bell helmet.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying.
That but it's probably an open face.
A good
open
bell
face.
Helmet.
Yep.
I should have warned you, Mike. Michael has something
sorry.
About age. Okay, it's taken. Thanks for being here because it's taken the old crappy kids
you.
Off me.
Yeah, I get
you.
Spread it around a little bit. Well, I know it's coming to me
I'm
in
the
future.
Senior here, so.
Hey, you know what?
Not by much.
I think I got 10 years on you.
I'm 57.
Well, I'm 66, so.
No. 9 years.
See, now, yeah, remember that. Respect
you wouldn't
your
think team. The way he wheels a car.
Yeah, no kidding.
You wouldn't think the way he wheels that bomber.
You know, and then, so out of the quarter midgets, you did the dirt, the motorcycles, I guess. What was your next step after the motorcycles? Did you take some time off, or you
took
just
a
jumped?
Long time off?
Really?
Yeah. Several surgeries, several
kids.
Wow.
Grandkids.
That'll do it.
12 grandkids.
Oh my God.
So
wow.
I took wait, no, 12 grandkids for how many kids? How many
four.
Kids? Okay, so that's not bad,
four,
you know.
14 kids. Yeah.
Two kids and 12 grandkids.
Spread out.
Lots of boys. The Lane family got busy.
Well, what are you? If you're not racing, what are you supposed to do? You're bored.
Got to have somebody take over.
Keep racing. Well, that's where the old lady probably said, "Hey, you need to start racing, Mike."
My back hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, now my back hurts. Right? Jeez.
Enough's enough.
That's crazy. But, so you took some time off.
Well, my little brother, I knew he was racing, and he calls me up to Pahrump one time, and he says, "Hey, I got this Buick up here. It's a bomber car. You want to run it?" And I looked at it and said, "Yeah."
This
was like, what, 4 years ago?
Wow.
I think so.
Oh, well, so you haven't raced since the motorcycles.
There was a big
25
big
years.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's cool. But so, you said your brother was racing, though. Has he been racing this whole time in
yeah,
between?
Dusty.
During the time you took off, he was still doing some racing, I guess. Maybe.
Well, I don't know when he got into it, but he had the mini stock cars. Then my nephew Ryan had a bomber car, and they had that Buick. It was a front wheel drive Buick.
Wow, that's
ran
all
right.
The Riviera. Yeah.
No way.
Really? Dusty, yeah. First time it came out, I ran. It was my brother was in town for his birthday. Yep. It was February 4th.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You don't see that too often. Full size front wheel drive bomber.
Yeah.
I like to see that on the asphalt.
Buick Riv. Yep.
Hey, I didn't see that in the skid plate race.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
I don't know if it says anything about that in the rules.
Got to be a four cylinder.
We'll take four plugs off.
Undo four of the spark plug.
You're good to go. No, that's crazy. So then you
went down and drove that rib, and that was it. You get bit the bug.
I broke it, and then I had to fix it. I thought, well, I think I crashed it. He made me fix it, and then I said, I might as well keep racing it. I ran it until it kind of took a dump and decided to get my own car. So got the Chevy, and from there it was come out and race with you guys. It was a lot of fun.
So the Chevy you got, the blue one, that's from building that, from stripping it on up? You built that car yourself with Dusty?
Yeah, my nephew and my brother helped me a lot, Corey and Dusty. They put the cage in it and helped me get it together. And actually, I brought it over here for Gary to kind of set it up, and he helped me get it to where it would turn. But now that camber setup is illegal, so I had to put it back to zero again. And
did they change the rules?
Oh,
man.
Yeah, Chad. Zero tolerance on camber. And,
no way.
Oh, man.
Man.
So
when you're turning, you got to turn a dump truck.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Mike just rolled the bus on your ass.
But he did allow me to keep my 8-inch wheels. He had some 7-inch wheel rule that came in. And
really?
Yeah.
That was this year, right?
Yeah.
No camber and
no camber.
7-inch wheels.
So they're going backwards and
they're bouncing around.
Yeah, everywhere else you go from the 7-inch over to the 8-inch, and then you allow a little bit of camber to kind of make the car.
He's going to make it where nobody wants to go race out there.
That's well, true. It keeps changing things up, and it gets a little confusing. And
right.
We went from he let me run my stock aluminum manifold, and now they put cast iron manifolds back in, but I'm still running the aluminum one, Chad. So,
hey, just paint it black.
I did paint it black. But, you know, that it was stock. It's a stock Chevy aluminum manifold. Came with the car, so.
We're good to go.
Okay. Well, everything's cast iron now.
That's right.
Cast iron block. Uh-huh. Wow.
Tech will never notice this.
He has enough trouble getting the hood off my car.
Well, that was always an issue at the Bullring, was running 350
what, Tech
Chevy.
Can't get the hood off?
Yeah.
No,
don't know what they're looking at.
76, yeah, the Monte Carlos, they came. That was always an issue with the Monte Carlo 350s. They came stock out of the factory with aluminum intakes. And one of the rules was cast iron intakes. But it was OEM.
Right.
You could take the numbers right off of it, and it was OEM.
Hmm.
And for years, that was always a constant issue. Every year we showed up, you got aluminum intake. It's OEM.
Right.
That's what, well, it says you got to have a cast iron one. Then go buy me a cast iron. I'm abiding by the rules. It's one of the things that was with
right.
Chevy, and a lot of the guys go at Monte Carlos. The big thing is that the motors set 6 inches further back
right.
than any other cars. That's why, you know, Monte Carlos were always, those were the two reasons mm-hmm. why Monte Carlos were the choice car to run out there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, but that's the 350 you got in. You pull a block number, I'm pretty sure it says cast aluminum manifold. You know, that's the way it came out of the factory, and pretty sure the rules down there in Prum still say OEM, don't they?
Yep. OEM.
So, that's always good. Been an issue. Since 01, since the Bombers started out at the Bullring.
Right.
You know, but now they got that on you, we never had a problem. We used to run them. We used to run them when I was with Master Racing. We used to run our aluminum intakes.
Hmm.
So I guess there's zero tolerance.
I just wish they'd get some nationwide Bomber rules and everybody abide by the same rules.
You know,
there you go.
Tracks.
There you go.
That would make
I don't know why they can't get it together.
And that would make too much
guys
sense.
Guys like Gary here should be on that like stink on fish. So
I can't tell you how many discussions we've had with Bomber drivers and just running, putting together one set of rules like the IMSA Modifieds. Right across the board.
Yep.
You know, like 600 Racing. Here's your rules for a Legend. Here's your rules for
right.
a Bandolero.
And it
here's
shouldn't matter whether it's dirt,
road
asphalt, whatever,
yeah.
a Bomber
no,
should be a Bomber.
The car
yeah.
should be within the rules, and that's it.
Yep.
Be able to swap tracks.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, just pull,
get it more
it.
Competitive so that everybody abides by the same rules. And there's no discrepancies, so...
Yeah, that would make too much sense to do that.
They leave it
know?
Up to a track and a track.
I could, the years that we discussed setting up one set of rules for everybody.
Well, you know what? And the complaint of not getting the car counts would start to diminish because guys would different tracks. You know, you might see Pahrump where they, you know, sometimes have 2, 3, 4 cars. Might start seeing guys from Vegas or Havasu or somewhere else with a factory stock, you know, start coming in.
A
handful of them.
Going from track to track because
mm-hmm.
they're all the same rule.
Or you get a big race coming in town and they bring their, you know, Bombers with them. You know, you see that sometimes on these big races. They bring their street stocks or something to race and you see 2, 3, 4 more cars, you know. That would make a lot of sense, you know.
I mean, you got just here alone, you got 4 tracks. Well, Mojave had started a hobby stock division.
Yeah.
It was more Bombers. This, I'm going back to 04, 05. I mean, you got 4 tracks, 2 dirt, okay, 2 pavement. Mm-hmm. Havasu, Mojave, Pahrump, and LVMS. You make all the rules, Bomber rules for the same, guys are going to travel. You're talking what? What's the furthest track? 2.5 hours to Mojave?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's 2.5 hours to Tonopah, I can tell you that.
So, that's,
so in a radius 3 hours, you got how many different tracks just from Vegas,
Just, if you laid out one set of rules across the board, hey, guess what? We took our bombers just the way they were in 02, 03, and 04 down to Pahrump, and all we did going from pavement to dirt was adjust air pressures. That's it.
Right.
And then we end up
camber.
What? No.
I'm sorry. I'm just joking, by the way.
No, we didn't touch camber. The only thing we did do was pull our windshield.
Right.
Okay. And we put screen and bars in.
Instead
all
of
right.
Lex
and then when
band.
We came back to LVMS, we put Lexon back in.
Right.
So that was the only big change after Dave Hall when we started down there in Pahrump. That was the only big change.
Right.
Pull the Lexon out, put the screen in, go run Pahrump, and then pull the screen and put the Lexon. That's not a major change.
No.
That's not, when you're going from 4 barrels to 2 barrels and manifolds, from 8-inch wide tires down to 7-inch rims,
right.
It gets costly. And if you don't do that, then you find yourself falling out of the competitiveness, depending on what track you're
right.
Go
well,
to.
Because the bomber division is a lower cost division for
supposed to be.
Yeah, supposed to be entertainment and entry level or however you want to look at it. And then when you got to go from 8-inch tires to 7-inch or vice versa,
$600.
Yeah. Right off the bat. Plus, you got to find the rims that match and, all that stuff. It takes time to go to the junkyard and Craigslist and looking at people's backyards.
Yeah. You gotta put the mirror in.
Right.
You gotta take the mirror out. You gotta put the mirror in. You gotta take the mirror out.
I like the mirror.
So do I, especially backing off the trailer.
I can't get it off the trailer. My neck's got pinned in it.
Yeah, exactly.
My head too far.
Well, that brings up a good point. A lot of something as simple as a mirror, some bomber drivers are there by themselves. They don't have a crew or somebody guiding them off the trailers even. You do all that stuff by yourself half the time, if not all the time.
Like our old buddy Russ.
So,
used to show up by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russ Wilson. God bless him.
Yep.
God rest his soul.
It's amazing. But,
the mirror's a safety factor. That's what it is.
Sure.
I don't know why they have an issue with it, but. Just backing up into the pits, trying to maneuver around, getting out to go race. You can't look back. There's too much. If there's traffic, you're going to have an issue back into somebody else's trailer or motorhome or whatever. So
even spinning out on the track itself.
Right.
Okay. You get tied up with somebody, two cars go in, you don't want to throw it into reverse. And then all of a sudden, guys like, hey, what are you doing? And it turns into a demolition derby.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to back up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to back up. Track's wet. Big hump in the middle.
So what is the rule, no mirrors or?
Not no mirrors.
At all. I mean, even the modifieds, IMCA modifieds are allowed a mirror. So, it would make sense that a bomber would be allowed a mirror also.
Right? Not in Peru.
But. Hey,
but brake lights are still necessary on mini stocks. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or did that finally go away?
I think it's an option. I can't remember.
They should make brake lights on everything. Screw it. Might as well put brake lights on everything. I'm just kidding.
We don't use brakes.
Yeah.
I did one time and I ended up in the wall.
And use brakes. We ran down there 4 years, never changed a set of pads.
No.
We ran 3 races up here. We tore up the calipers.
Yep.
the brakes, the pads, the calipers, everything.
The rotors.
Yeah. When we came back up to Dell.
Answer your question. Rear window brake light is mandatory.
Oh, mandatory.
In the mini stocks, yes.
Yep. It has to be there or it has to work?
It says rear window brake light is mandatory.
Okay, now leave it up to a racer. to come up with the gray area of the rule. Now it's there.
You don't use the brake, and the light ain't gonna come on.
That's
how they
right.
know if it's working?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing is, like, I showed up with my Mini out there years and years ago, and that was the rule back then. And so I bought a little. It was tiny. It was a small, and I mounted it right up on the center of the back of the Mini stock, is the old Toyota. And they told me it wasn't bright enough or big enough or something. I was like, well, the rules didn't say
what size.
I mean, it's you can see it at night. It was still daylight. I was like, at night you're gonna be able to see this light. Trust me, you know. And the tech guy gave me a little bit of a hard time.
Come put those LED lights.
The big bright trailer. Something that blinds you, right? My brakes are on all the time.
Uh-huh.
Gary put LED lights on the trailer at the beginning of the season. So it's at night, and he says, we're backing up to 33. And he says, here, and he says, check the lights out. Okay. He blinded me. I turned away from the trailer up against your trailer. The lights bounced off.
He got blinded twice.
So I had to totally look away, these LED brake lights. That'll be the next thing required, LED brake lights. Everybody in the Mini stocks, everybody will be blinded going into 1 and 3.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah.
So have you raced at all out at Pahrump this year?
Yeah. May was my bad month. I mean, I had to go to Georgia 2 weeks ago, so I knew I was missing that one. And then I missed the other one in the 1st of May because my car kind of lost a cylinder or two at the last race in April. So
ouch.
I didn't bother going back up to work on it. I had my nephew look at it, and he says there's piston matter on the spark plug. So,
that's not a good word.
Yeah.
Piston matter.
Yeah. That's a new one. Piston matter.
Like silver shaving?
Fragmented.
Fragmented, yeah.
Plus there's no compression in the cylinders.
Not good.
Your oil nice and speckly and shiny as it glimmers in
about
the sun.
Oil. He didn't say anything about it. He said it still ran, but
interesting. No holes in the block, so that's probably good.
No, that's the other engine. Camshaft kind of broke.
Kinda. I
like
the
rod
kinda.
Went through it.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Did that. Blew up the tuna
Dodge.
Boat.
Trying to beat the Dodge.
Yeah.
Now you said kind of beat the Dodge. You're talking about a Dodge that's been out there for a couple of years now, right? That just showed up with the big a big 440 or something like that. I heard about
the
that.
Big block, yeah.
The big block.
The green machine. So
it's funny. I don't know the guy, and I'm not trying to talk crap or anything. I happened to be down there watching one of the races one time, and I walked over while the driver's meeting was going on, and somebody was saying something about the bombers with the size of engines and stuff, and the guy piped up. He's like, "I'll put my small engine in. I'll still kick these guys' ass." And da 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 da. I was like, "I don't even know who is this guy." I don't think he ever put his small quote unquote small motor in, did he?
No.
You know, so I don't know why he was talking crap. Like, I'm going to put my small motor in and still kick these guys' ass. But
he doesn't bring it out anymore, Mike. Or
I haven't seen him. I was there. The last race in April, and I asked him why he hadn't shown up, and he says, "Well, I'm gonna show up." So he was all dressed up in that warm weather clothing, but I don't think he's been back out there since.
He's probably putting a small motor in, ready for you guys.
Kenny Harrington, he's not gonna put a small block back in the. He's a Dodge guy. He's strictly a Dodge. I mean, he's drag race Dodges. He's a Dodge guru. So
you know, that's good. That's what the bomber division is designed for. So you can bring out a Dodge, you can bring out a Ford, you can bring out a Buick front wheel drive Riviera, you can bring out a Capri, you know, and they should all be somewhat competitive. So
it's horsepower to weight ratio, and it doesn't compute on his car because he's running a 3,500 pound car with probably 375 horsepower or better.
Right.
So, and the torque ratio, it just kicks butt coming out of the turns. I mean, there's just no way to keep up with him. I tried and blew up. So.
Well, what is the motor rule for the bombers out in Pahrump?
It's what came in the car. And it says
what it comes.
They changed that too?
Yeah, it says what the manufacturers came in the car is what you can run. And
no matter
he's
the wheelbase.
Well, he's got a Cadillac he ran out there, the B-52. And And it's probably got 572 cubic inches or whatever they came with, and that's fine, but that car weighs 4,000 pounds.
Sure.
So, you know, but that Dodge 440 was an option for that year and probably came stock with a 383, but his car happened to pass inspection with a 440, and so that's what he runs, but it's not competitive. There's supposed to be a weight rule where they run away, you're supposed to add weight. Well,
right.
I don't know if that ever happened. They said they did, but that was last year. So
yeah, okay, they must have changed that, because if I'm not mistaken, it used to be a 350 for a Chevy, a 351, and a 360 for a Dodge.
You need a Dodge or the 360.
I believe that's if you take it out of a fuel injected car
and
put it in an aspirated motor.
The
rules right here say any 400 cubic inch and over must run a Holley, must have carburetor Holley 2-barrel, part number 4412S.
So you should have been running a 2-barrel to begin with.
It says any 400 cubic inch
or more.
And over. Must have carburetor Holley 2-barrel.
Well, that's still a Holley 500. So
CFA.
That's what you guys run anyway.
If they made him run a 350,
maybe that would be different. It'd be restricting, you know,
flow. And what you're talking about, JJ, with the Chevy 350, Ford 351, and the Chrysler Mopar 360. That's if you take a fuel injected motor out.
And we'll just swap it.
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy. Hey, real quick, if you're just joining us, we got Mike Lane from Pump Valley Speedway with us, sipping on his Corona, enjoying this nice weather.
He's living life.
Talking about Pump Valley Speedway. And, of course, you can go to PumpValleySpeedway.com and check out their schedule there and, you know, see what they got going on. Of course, this weekend we have races out at LVMS. If you want to see some asphalt races, it's the Chris Trickle Classic, which used to be kind of the Chris Trickle Father's Day race, but it's now the Chris Trickle Classic. They got super late model twin races,
twin 35s,
super stocks this weekend.
Super late model twin 25s. The Bandoleros, as usual, are running the Legends, Grand American Modifieds. Modifieds have 30-lap main. Bombers have 25-lap main. Legends, 25 laps. And like we said before, Super Stocks, 25 laps. And Super Late Models, twin 35s. They'll open up the night at 7 p.m. with the first Super Late Model race. And then they'll close it out.
Maybe we can convince Mike to go back to his roots of asphalt racing with his bomber, huh?
Headed that way, I'm telling you right now.
It's in your backyard. Watch out.
I'll put it together for next year.
You know, hey, it's in your backyard. It's a lot of fun. These guys, you know, had, you know, some tough time this year, which, you know, we all go through that sometimes in our racing pleasures. You know, we run across these problems with our cars and things, but they get worked out, you know.
Eventually. Black cloud is still hanging.
Eventually.
Black cloud is still hanging.
It's just a money thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Money will fix it.
Money fixes everything.
When, not enough.
Never enough.
Hey, Mike, so you're planning on going back out to Pahrump, but do you know when? Possibly next month? This month? Still up in the air.
I can go run the my little brother said I could run Ryan's old car, but I'm sure it's getting ready to break, and so I'll go run it.
And
break, and
you
got to
fix it.
So
you got to go fix your car.
That's a scary moment.
So if you have a car ready to break, let Mike drive it for you.
Right.
Go drive it and fix it.
Deep pocket.
Ask Uncle Mike. Yeah, go ahead, run the car.
Yeah.
Motor blew. I need a new motor.
It blew when you were driving it, so.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, I need a new motor. All right, let me get Mike to drive it for one race.
Hey, Mike, you racing under your own dollar? Or you got any sponsors or people you like to talk about?
I have my main sponsor is Ichabod's, Francois at Ichabod's Lounge and Restaurant on Pecos and Flamingo. Is my main sponsor.
Okay.
He helps me out every year, and I appreciate it. And sometimes my son, I have him on the trunk lid. He helps me out a little bit. So XL concrete and coatings. So that's about it. And then my mom and dad, they take me to breakfast. So on Wednesdays.
You,
so.
You know what? Every little bit helps.
That's my main sponsors. My wife, of course.
Yeah, you know, you can't say enough praise for our wives that let us spend the money.
Put up with it.
Let us put up with our garbage that we talk about all the time.
Now, my wife's married. I'm not. I don't know about you guys.
On that note, hey, let's go back to the bullring quick.
Okay.
There is an autograph session from 6 to 6:45.
So before
So
before the opening ceremony.
Yes.
Typically are at 7. So
after all the qualifying and the heat races or qualifying, I'm sorry. After all the qualifying from 6 to 6:45 is an autograph session.
Cool. Cool deal.
That's
so you guys
2 weeks in
you
a row.
Running, right?
Not this weekend.
Yeah.
The
bombers are.
Yeah.
Are you, so Mike, have you been out to the bullring lately at all?
Not lately, but I've been out there. I watch these guys bang fenders out there and swap paint. So.
And you wish you hadn't been with them?
I wish I
were
out there with them, to tell you the truth. You know, I like the competition, and they were always competition. I mean, these guys run hard, so.
You know, me and Mike,
like.
You know, my son was talking about we watched a couple races out there, and not talking about you not being there, but there's a couple drivers that haven't been there for a race or two that it's probably a good thing that they're not there because there hasn't been as many accidents and things because of them. So it was some good racing in the last couple races. And not talking about you, Jay.
I can fix that. I mean,
we're talking about other people.
You out there.
So I'm just telling you so it doesn't get your head. I know what you're thinking. No, we're talking about some other, couple other drivers out there that it's probably good that they're not there. So made for some good bomber racing out there. So.
Hey, Mike Lane's coming out. I'm retiring.
I'll give you a warning.
Yes. You get a warning. Yeah.
We'll have a retirement
party. I
always liked
running with you guys. You guys were tough, you know. And it was fun.
You know, and that's part of
it was always fun.
If you're banging against it, you're always racing together, then that means you're racing for the same real estate. So that means there's some good racing going on. So.
I got to admit, my happiest moment of racing was catching Gary one night and passing him to win. And
He said he let you win.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know it upset him drastically, but that was my happiest moment in racing was beating his butt.
Nobody's fault but my own.
Yeah. You know, that was Gary's saddest moment, by the way. No, I'm just kidding, man. So, you know, Gary's been dominant out there at Pahrump for a while now. And of course, any given night, anybody could win out there. So it's cool that you're able to get one over on Gary.
I enjoyed it.
How about when he had my car or his car in my driveway in the very next race, he went out and won.
Yeah, with his help. Well, you said you wanted to make it turn so it wouldn't hit your car.
That's right.
I appreciate the help.
He made it turn so it hit JJ's car.
Didn't hit Gary so well. Gary had it turn into me. I think I hit Arlie, too. So I think I spread it around that night.
See? Yeah, you had to spread your love around.
I think
huh?
I hit the whole team.
Hey, he's trying to say, if you can't beat him, join him. So he was beating the hell out of you guys.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool.
No,
there was a race I went to Gary and Arlie. I started on the pole. I said, just hold him up. I don't want to take any dents out this weekend. Just hold Mike up and let me get out front.
Ryan was there, too.
Yeah, he had his teammates.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, Ryan and I traded a couple.
Yeah.
That's for sure. We all did.
You know,
we all look back. It's good stories.
It's funny because some of the on-track times are stressful and you're pissed or, you know, not at each other, just because We all know what type of work goes into these cars. And then afterwards you look back and it's like, hey, that was actually a fun thing that happened. You know, it's nice to look back and still be able to talk about it and not be pissy about it, you know.
Time heals all. Get the man another Corona.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Time and Corona.
Remember.
Right. That's the best part.
You know what, Mike? I've been starting to use that lately.
I don't remember.
I'm right there. I can identify. Oh, really? I hit you?
That happened?
When was that? I don't remember that.
I don't remember. I'll try not to let that happen again.
I'm sorry. I'm showing signs of dementia.
Or when you go to a driver and say, hey, I owe you one. You got it coming. He said, why? Did I hit you?
Yeah, what happened? No, I didn't even see that happen. Yeah.
I didn't know I hit you.
Well, I used to run that Buick Electra 225, the deuce and a quarter.
Oh, that's
awesome. Guys would come to me and say, I'm sorry I hit you.
I didn't feel it.
About five guys hit me. I got into you. I was like, you know, I never felt it with the big two.
Well,
because
that thing
man.
Is the length of the straightaway, right? So about five guys probably hit you in that thing. You didn't know.
I didn't know.
There was one time in Pahrump that I was going down the back stretch, and when JJ got that thing sideways, it took up both lanes.
You had nowhere to go.
You had nowhere to go. I hit him. Going into three.
That's funny.
And I mean, I plowed into him going into three. And he just drove it through three and four. Like, I was like, what?
I didn't even know.
We had another one. He was driving into, it was matter of fact, white flash lap.
Yeah.
And I was on the two groove and kicked it out. And here comes Gary on the inside. And Gary hits my door and ricochets.
You didn't move.
I didn't move. Ricochets right into the infield.
It's like hitting a wall.
Yeah. Right into the infield. You just hit it and bounce and straight into the
infield. That's funny.
When I hit him going into three, I had to replace my bumper. I mean, he pushed it. And I hit him hard, too. And I was like, get the hell out of the way. Because, like I said, he takes up both lanes when he got it sideways.
Right.
You couldn't do nothing. You just had to wait.
I love that car. That car I got from Chad Maddows.
Oh, that's the one you got from
Chad.
Yeah,
that was the Buffalo Wild Wings car.
That's crazy.
He used to run out at the bull ring. Yep, I love that car. Then we had Chad come down and we put him in it.
Yep. Oh, no way. Yep. In the dirt?
It was in the dirt.
That's cool.
It was the first time he ever ran dirt. And we're lined up and he's come up to the pits and he goes, so what car am I running? I just point
to the car.
I said, it's a different color. He goes,
it's a different color.
That's not the same car, is it? I said, just a different color. It's the same thing you drove 6 years ago at the bull ring.
That's
he goes,
funny.
You got to be kidding me.
That's cool.
I didn't move nothing. We were the same height and weight and seats.
Nice.
And he got right in it. It was a double race night, too.
Yep. Hey, speaking of Chad, what's Chad doing? Anything, any word on him? I know. Did he get rid of his car?
Yeah, he sold his car.
Oh, he did a while
two
ago.
2 years ago.
Has it been that long?
A year and a half ago.
Super stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
He's semi-retired till he gets the itch again and mm-hmm. go find something else. He was running with Gaffarini for a year.
Right.
And I get everybody takes a break now and then, you know. I mean, Matt Cunningham did. He was running the Super Stock. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure whether he still has it. Does he still have it?
I don't know. I know he's running a Legend now, right?
Yeah, he just acquired a Legend. He started running that this year. He's been focusing on his son, Matthew Jr., running the Bandolero. I keep on telling him, you got to get a bomber, man. Bring back out. I said, Mike Heck, he's gotten into the bomber with Mazarang. Mazarang has let him run. And I'd love to see Matt Larson back out there again, get another bomber, save some money on that super stock. But who knows? Jennifer Cunningham, get her back out there. There's a good crew back then.
That'd be cool.
03, 04, 05, 06. It was a lot of fun running up against some guys.
Mike, have you seen out at the LVMS they have the what's called the breakout race? You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's the 22nd. What they limit you to a 20-second if you go faster than 20 seconds. Is it 20 seconds or faster?
Yeah, the leader
goes 20 seconds or faster. That's considered they broke out and they have to do a stop-and-go lap, I guess, and which basically puts
have you
them
seen
back
one of those
back.
Races, Mike?
No,
you haven't seen. You gotta go watch one of these.
I don't know. I was just curious.
Yeah, what you think? Yeah, do you think that sounds like a bad idea or a good idea?
I like it. Because you're out there to go fast.
Everybody has their opinion.
I mean, if the leader is going to get doinked, you ought to doink anybody that breaks out. So
that's what I thought too. Didn't they do that before?
That's what I kept on saying, is that anybody in the entire field break out in the 20 seconds should go to the back. Not just the leader.
You lose a car length or a position or something.
They had that when they first brought the 20-second, and then they stopped.
That's what I thought it was.
Then they went to just the leader.
I mean, you stop and go, you're going to lose a lap, right? That's a lap, isn't it?
Yeah, about a half a lap.
I like the idea of just go to the back of the pack. I guess when they get spread out, that's tough to, you know, kind of judge. But
I think Formula One, you ought to just lose one spot, you know.
One position. Yeah, there you go. One position. And if you break out 2-3 times, you start losing 2 or 3 positions, you'll learn to, you know, kind of back off a little bit. Interesting.
Penalize everybody over under 20 seconds.
You should go out and I think, this weekend's not a breakout race.
July 4th is not even a breakout race.
Yeah, it's not listed as a breakout race this year.
I called Richter in the past. Not this year, huh?
Yep. I talked to Richter, and he said no breakout race
until July 3rd. Right? I think September is the next one, if I'm not mistaken. But you should check it out if you haven't seen one yet. You know,
I'll have time.
I don't think it's on one of your race weekends. So
I think ours are conforming, though. I think they're on the same pattern. So
I was supposed
to race this weekend.
I think the schedules are combined now.
The last half of the season, they're on top of each other.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to be out there as much.
Oh, well. Hey, JJ.
September 9th.
That's the next breakout race? Okay. Of course, real quick, LVMS, we have a race this weekend out at the Bullring. It's full classic. Make sure you come check that out. Autograph session between 6 and 6:45, which is always fun. To walk around, anybody in the stands can get down and walk and talk to the drivers and look at the cars.
Go to your favorite driver and ask them for an autograph.
And you'll have some asphalt modifieds down there, the super late models, super stocks, legends, all them other cars out there. So be a fun time out there this weekend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 main events.
9. Cool. Hey, how's the car count been out there in Pahrump the last time you went out there? Has it been
pretty bleak?
Bleak. It's bleak. Kind of up and down.
Bleak's a good word.
Bleak can mean anything. So. But the Bombers have been
non-existent.
Running with hobby stocks, is what they're calling hobby stocks there, correct?
Yeah, actually, we ran with the coupes.
Anthony
was the only coupe one night, and he ran with the other two of us.
Wow.
But it was fun. I mean, I beat him in the heat race somehow, but I think he let me.
Well,
I kept throwing mud on his.
They should do an open comp there. Just run a bunch of them together. The coupes, the mud, whatever you want to run together. Just run one big race at the end of the night.
Now the car count hasn't been too well out there. Yeah. Modifieds are okay, but sometimes the dwarfs.
Oh, the doors still come out there. You know, I hate to see that at any track, you know. So if you got a chance to go to Pahrump, check out the races down there. You want to get into racing, dirt racing's fun. Mini stocks are always a decent car count down there and always a decent car to get into. So check out PahrumpValleySpeedway.com and look at their schedules. If you're not going to be there this weekend, go to LVMS, local asphalt racing. Of course, Pahrump is dirt, so you get your choice of both. And there's always Mojave Valley running kind of alternately, too. If you haven't been there, it's, two hours away, maybe, something like that. A couple hours to Mojave.
Two hours, 15 minutes.
So that's some dirt racing if you haven't been there.
Another quarter-mile dirt track. A little different from Pahrump. You come on the fourth turn. You get off the track on the back stretch. You go into the cow pasture. If you go over the wall in turn one and two...
different rules again, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's
they got a tire issue rule or something out there.
Even their their
Hoosier or something.
Right, their street stock is a little different than their, like the street stocks in Pahrump, you know.
No, they don't run bombers at all. Years ago, they had started a hobby stock class. Mm-hmm. I think it was 07, 08. They had four hobbies, and it was pretty close to the bombers.
Right.
It was the only thing difference was they were running a 112 wheelbase out there. But they were pretty close to the bombers. We were thinking of venturing out there. It just never materialized getting down there.
Need to bring back the claimers. They used to run claimers down at Elkhorn Speedway. I think you could claim a car for...
The whole car, right?
The whole car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like $1,500 or something like that.
It was pretty cheap. Might have been $1,000.
Oh, maybe it was $1,000 back then. Yeah, I've seen other claimer classes kind of more recent within maybe 5, 10 years ago. They're $1,500.
And that's what, I mean, we were in a claimer class, but that's what the bombers started out to be in 01, 02. You know, it was a $1,000 junkyard car and just put a T-bar in it, put in a plate on a 4x4 metal plate on the door. You didn't even need a race seat, and the only other thing you needed was fuel cell.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be kind of an endurance race, too. They were going to run 100 laps or whatever.
Yeah, we ran 200 lap races out there. It was an enduro.
it's a lot of seat time in one race.
Half my bed.
You see, like, I don't know, 10 cars pulling off. Well, those are the old guys. We got nothing but the young guys on the track.
You run 20 laps in the bombers down in Pahrump, right? I had an adjustment with that when we started going 25 at the bowling.
Believe it or not, that five laps makes a difference.
Yeah, that 5 laps makes a big difference on how fast and how slow I should take of getting out of the car.
Funny.
Usually a Pahrump, you take a couple minutes to get out of the car after 20 laps. Bullring 5, me and Arlie sitting next to each other on the trailers.
I was going to say, two out of the three JC Motorsports guys, when they pull off the track after a race, you got to give them 10 minutes before they get out of their car.
In hell, it's 15 or 20.
Half hour before they get out.
And then they decide which one's getting out first.
They need help.
Yeah. Like
they need that nurse station button.
Yeah.
Someone come help me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Michael,
I'm not.
Michael, the both of you, you're bordering on elder abuse.
Well, that's why we got to get
bordering on elder abuse. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Physically,
crazy,
mentally, emotionally, and verbally.
Hey, you want to go over JC Motorsports? Sponsors, Bomber Nation.
Yeah, I want to thank Nevada Pick Apart, Camp Out, Reliable Banner, Pick Art Radiator, Best Muffler, Roadrunner Engine Parts, and Rob Street at Duo Street Publishing. Thank you very much for all that you do.
You say Steve Burke at Nevada Pick Apart?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that, but my hearing's going.
That's been going. So's your timing also. Want to also thank Vegas Valley Fleet and Auto. Eddie and Dylan at Electrostatic Painting Incorporated, Tommy Cola at Mac Tools.
Hey, Mike, by the way, I've used Mark several times down at the Vegas Fleet. Great guy, and man, I trust him with any of my Ford vehicles.
There you go. Good guy.
So just letting you know. But again, Mike Lane, we're running out of time. 90 seconds left. Want to thank you for being here. I know these guys drug you in and filled you up with alcohol.
They didn't fill me up.
But they co-horsed you. But now, thanks for being here, Mike. You're looking forward to seeing you out the track, whether it's asphalt or dirt. It's going to be a pleasure watching you in the number three bomber. So look out for Mike Lane in the number three bomber. So, we'll be here live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. We'll see you at the racetrack this weekend at LVMS. If you're not anywhere else, go to LVMS.com.
Yep, talking 100 degrees, so
keep
hydrated. Hydrate.
Absolutely, this whole week. Always.
Bring a cooler water out there. It's going to be a warm one. Or, in Mike's case, a cooler Corona.
See you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at allgoesnow.com. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Mike. Mr. Mike Lane.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Putting up with you.
Thanks for listening.